Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We know, Lord, the weather has been bumpy and cold, a little cool, and we know that this wind came from China, the northeast, and the cold wind came over, comes over here, Lord, and people are affected bodily, physically. Some are not well and coughing and sneezing away. And those that are down and out today, we just commit everything to you now as you approach that word. Lord, open our minds and clear our mind, Father, that all our things that we bother us at this time, our burdens, Lord, we cast it all upon you. That Lord, our mind, spiritual mind may be refreshed, O Father, in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit it to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We continue where we left off on our trumpet. We're going to finish off the trumpet. There are two more trumpets to deal with. First of all, let us look at for us to deal with this period of the 70th week of Daniel. I know some of you may not be familiar, some of you are new, all right, but I'm going to deal with it. Now, while we are dealing with the seven trumpets, we have to deal with the 70th week of Daniel. This is Daniel's 70 weeks, all right? There is the 70th week. A week is seven. Daniel's 70 week means the last 7 years, okay? All right, so we are dealing with this. So they're all together, seven trumpets. 3 here, 2 here, 1 here, and 7 here. Well, actually, just place it that, but just to show about the period of time that this trumpet will be blown. All right, so they are all together 7 years. And if you look at chart number 6 and 7, we'll just look at that one. Here we have this 70 week. Now, we are living around this period of time. Now, the year we are living in 2003, and I believe that we are actually overdue for the coming of the Lord. But the Bible said that the Lord, we think that God kind of slack concerning His coming, concerning Christ's coming. He is not. But He might be, as the Bible, waiting for the last few elect to come in. And I believe maybe very soon we are going to see, this year especially, the scientists have said that we're expecting the weather to get hotter. Because everything has changed now. The earth has been tilted by, I don't know, how many centimeters. And that causes a lot of ice in the Arctic Circle and the Atlantic, Arctic Circle and the South Pole, the North Pole and South Pole, to melt. You see, and that's why the level of the sea has actually risen. And because of this amount of water that is, that is floating around in the ocean, it causes a change in the whole atmosphere. And that's why with the heat and everything, you get a lot of the water vapor going up into the air, and the wind blowing, and you're going to collect more rain, more water from the sea. And then there's, of course, because of this turning rotation of the earth and so on, and the wind will be circling around and over the ocean, and so it picks up all this water vapor. And so we're going to perhaps see many more typhoons over in the Philippines, across Taiwan, China, Macau, and all over in America, probably a lot of hurricanes and twisters. And we've already seen, the heat down in the South Australia, New Zealand area, and India has a lot of, because it's so cold, 5 or 10 degrees below zero, and 174 people have died. And so is China, a lot of death too, but of course they don't announce a lot of them out there in the village. It's really cold, and when it's hot, it's really very hot. And these are the phenomena we are going to see when we enter into this period. It's going to get worse, So we are living around this time here now, And we are preparing ourselves to be translated and be raptured. And once this rapture, the rapturing of the bride of Christ takes place, then the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years, will begin. The Antichrist will come in and make a covenant with many of the political, religious, you know, leaders of the world to settle the peace in the Middle East. Concerning Israel, especially, as you know, Israel allows the Palestinians to live there, but the Palestinians say, Israel do not belong to Israel. The land do not belong to Israel. They cannot coexist living together with the Jew. They want to kick the Jew out, but the Jew accept them to live together, but they wouldn't want to. You see? So we have these extremist religious fanatics who don't even know their history. Alright, so that's why we are seeing the thing that's going on. And you know what the Bible said about Ishmael. The prince, the children, the descendant of Ishmael, they are great princes, as you can see in the Middle East. All these rich Arab people, rich nation. But there will always be trouble because of the mixture with Esau, the Edomites. And they became people that are so fierce, we'll say, in their religious belief. And that's why we are seeing Syria having this problem right now, spilling over. We have seen Egypt, even though Egypt is mainly the Egyptian, but a lot of Egypt, they are no longer Egyptian, there are a lot of Arabic people leading them. You see. So we have the Middle East, the Hamas, the Iranians, how did they fuel the battle over there, the war over there, the fighting over there in Syria. So there's a lot of things that is going on, and this year perhaps we're going to see more of this problem. You know. And if the Lord tarry for another, well, hopefully the Lord tarry another, the maximum 4 years. I'm kind of weary a little bit. You know, living in this world, full of problems. But that's the condition of the world. It's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. Whether you live in Singapore, you live in America, you live in India, or any parts of the world is not going to get better. People say, oh, let's go to Australia or New Zealand. Well, you can go and live there and see what happened after a while. You would have a problem too. You see, look at the fire, you know, look at the drought that is going on there. So you cannot escape, because the Bible said this earth is travailing. It's travailing. What? For the manifestation of the sons of God. Right? So we are praying that, well, you know, as I said, I don't want to grow up, I'm 70 years old. And 5 more years, I'm 70 years old. And hopefully that Israel's Messiah will come for Israel by then. How many of you looking for the coming of the Lord? Are you still want to live in this world? I pity you if you want to come on, if you really want to live in this world. Maybe you say, I have a career ahead of me. What career? A career ahead of you? Doing what? When the world is already in this big problem. Huh? People are afraid of losing jobs and you are very unstable. And then you will get a job, you earn so much and you pay through your nose. Or whatever they say. Is that experience? You pay through your nose, not through your eyes? Okay. You pay through your nose and look at the amount of look at the property here and say, well, everything is going crazy. And American is trying to keep their dollar up, right? And how long will they be able to keep it up? See? You know. And so we have all this. So hopefully that the rapture of Christ will come pretty soon and then we'll start this period. Now this is the period we're talking about, the 70th. Okay, the 70th week of Daniel. The last one. So, in order to understand this, why there's someone here, we've got to go back to chapter number 5, the earlier part, where it was prophesied by, the angel told Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, okay, about the 70th week, that God has determined, fixed for Israel to ask, that God would deal with them for 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 years to deal with them. Okay, that God made known to Daniel that it will start from the going forth of the decree from Cyrus. So they were taken, the north, as the kingdom were divided into two, the north, 10 kingdom, there are 10 tribes altogether, and they were taken in 657 BC to Assyria. So they were under the Assyrian captivity. So they were taken out into Assyria, and later on, 524 years later, in the south, the two tribes that make up the kingdom of Judah, they were taken by the Babylonians, okay, to serve the they were slaves in the, so to speak, in the Babylonian Empire. So they were there, okay, for 70 years. Now, as a prophecy, as a decree, Daniel was made known this prophecy by the angel of the Lord when the countdown would start. So the countdown started when Cyrus came into power, took over the Babylonian. Cyrus came from the Persian, took over the Babylonian Empire, conquered them, took over the empire, and then he said, all right, let this children of Israel or the Jew return back to their homeland and let them build their land, the city, and let them build their temple. So the decree went forth. So when the decree went forth, it was the year 454 BC. So it was, the decree started. So counting down here from here to 69, then it took the 59. Verse 25, knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to rebuild, or to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince of his 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. So, the first part here, you see the white line that I've drawn here, at 7 weeks. 7 times 7, 49. So when they start building the city, there were trouble at that time. Okay, the Samaritans and those that lived there create trouble. So there was a little temporary halt. And then they continued for another 62 weeks. Okay, 7, 3 score and 2 weeks. 3 score is how many? 60. Okay, and 2 weeks, 62. 62 plus 7, 69. Okay, so 69 weeks from Cyrus' decree till the coming of the Messiah. Okay, as the Bible said, till the Messiah, the Prince come. It will be 7 plus 62. So Christ came, alright, a total of 483 years. Is that right? 7 times 69. 483. So last 7 years left. There are 7 years left. One more week left. But because there was this, when Christ came, they did not receive him. Alright? So then the Gentiles came into the gospel. So that's why we have to, we find that there is one more week that is left. And we read also in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come, that is, the soldier that came down with Titus. Alright? Now, Prince Titus was not the one who wanted to destroy the temple. Okay? He and another rabbi of the temple tried to prevent his soldiers from breaking out the temple. Why? Because the temple was overlaid with gold. And all the stones, they were all cemented between them with gold. So they have to break down all the stones to get at the gold. You see? And that's what Jesus said. When Jesus came, when he started to minister, he said this, there will not be one stone on top of another. They will not be taken down. You see? And true enough, the abomination will make a desolate, that is, anybody who, well, is it usually the Gentiles, not the Jew. The Gentiles are considered gods. Alright? So they were the ones, this Roman soldier came, they break down all this wall of Jerusalem, or the temple, and get it to go. And so because they intrude into this sacred place, that is, they are called the abomination. Anything that is filthy, that step into the sacred place of God, it's an abomination to God. So as you say here, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood unto the end of the war desolation are determined. So once when this soldier came in and destroyed the city, the whole of this city of Jerusalem, okay, were destroyed. All the Jews scattered, ran away. Many of them were made captive. But those who managed to run away, the whole city of Jerusalem became desolate. The whole, from that time on, the Jews were scattered in 70 AD. Alright, they were scattered in 70 AD, so the whole land of Israel became very desolate. And then in verse 27, now here we say, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And this is not the prince, the Messiah, the prince. It is the prince of the people. Now it's no longer the people of the prince. The people of the prince, when we read the verse ahead of it, is the soldier. Titus is not the one who wanted to destroy the temple, right? He tried to prevent it. But this Roman soldier, they destroyed. But now comes he becomes the prince of the people. Now we know today the Roman prince of the people is none other than the Pope. You see? It is about that Roman beast, which we will study later when we go into other parts of Revelation. Okay, so this Pope will make a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And the overspreading of abomination, because he will sit in the temple and make himself God. Do you understand? Okay, and then he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and the determination shall be poured upon the desolator. The word desolate means the desolator himself. Okay, so let us look at the 70th week of Daniel now. Now, this is the last 1 week. Okay? It only starts after the church is gone. And as the Bible, you can see, the Antichrist, who is none other than the Pope, he will come and he will make a covenant for 1 week, 7 years, because he is trying to settle the peace over in the Middle East. Okay? And then when Israel make this covenant with him and the people, the politician and the religious leader, they will be able to build their temple and then start to do their sacrifices. The morning sacrifice, evening oblation before the Lord. But then don't forget that we talk about that 2 witnesses will come. Remember? Revelation chapter 11, the 2 witnesses will come. And they will prophesy. They will prophesy, they will preach. When they preach, they are going to steal the 144,000. 144,000 Jews. 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Do you understand? These 144,000 will later on become the main servants who will feed the children of Israel or the nation of Israel. Those are children, women, men, elderly, they will make up the nation of Israel. When the Antichrist sits in the temple and makes himself God. So now during this prophecy of these 2 witnesses, okay, the 3 trumpets will be blown, already blown, that we already studied the week before, 2 weeks ago. Then after 3.5 years, the Antichrist got very sick of these 2 guys, because all they prophesied is giving him a lot of trouble. So he will have them killed. So he will kill them in the middle of the 70, where the Bible said, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Alright? He will kill the 2 prophets at the 4th trumpet. When the 4th trumpet sound, he will bring forth the war. And the war starts with the 5th trumpet. And so in the midst of the week, the Antichrist will kill these 2 prophets. Alright, so we are at this junction here. Now, we are going over to this and look at the 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet. A little closer again. Alright, let's go to Revelation chapter 8. You can see here in Revelation chapter 8, these 4 trumpets, 1, 2, 3, 4, are listed there. Alright, now go over to Revelation chapter 9. Here we have the 4th trumpet. And when the 4th trumpet was blown, of course we studied that again last week. The 3 wars appeared. Okay, in chapter 8, the last part. We'll go to the last two verses first of chapter 8. Verse 12. And the four angels sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the star, so as the third part of them that was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the fourth trumpet brings forth what? Here. The sun, the moon, the star are affected. And so a third part of the day was darkened. So you just imagine what phenomenon would that be? If you have the sun darkened by one third part of the day, and, you know, the moon of course is the light that we find from the sun. Then what will happen to the earth? It will be cold. Would it not be? Alright. So now the three worlds starts in chapter 9. And the fifth trumpet sound, and a star fall from heaven unto the earth, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And we know that we studied last week that when the fifth trumpet sound, we already see that this is a picture that John saw in the vision that he picked to us and tell us who this star really is. It is none other than Lucifer, the fallen angel. He fell from heaven. And he was given a key. Now remember, he talked about a key in the Bible, he's talking about authority. You all know, right? Isn't it? A key to something. If I give you a key to the car that means it. That key give you the right to use that car. A key to a home, you're authorized to enter that home. So he was given the key to the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit has no foundation, as I know. And the bottomless pit always shows that if you fall in, you keep on singing, there's no foundation. And when you talk about a pit, it's something filthy, something demonic. Isn't it? Anybody keep any good thing in a pit? Usually the pit is usually for dumping rubbish. Isn't that alright? Huh? Okay, unless you have your own piece of land somewhere in Singapore and you have a lot of gold, a lot of money, you dig a pit and then you dump it there and put it nicely and nobody knows where you hide the money. But usually people don't do that. Unless the guy is paranoid. Alright, so this bottomless pit shows that filthy system of Satan. And then as we already studied last week, what happened? Okay, how that he come up with all this impersonation of a church, trying to be impersonated, to be imitating what God, what the Creator of the Lord God Almighty is doing, he tried to impersonate. And that's why he throws people away from the truth of the faith of God. Okay? So now, as we read all the way down, and then what we see here is that this woe started was when the bottomless pit was fully opened up. Now we know that the bottomless pit is open, but not as what is described here. Alright? But when it is fully open to show it, that means all hell break loose. Right? Every demonic activity will happen on this earth. And that is known as the first war. Huh? There's no more restraint. God is no longer restraining Satan and the devil from doing anything. He just let him, don't forget that the God of this earth, the God of this world rather, is Satan. Right? He every right to this world. But because of the Holy Spirit of God is now collecting his people, that is the restraint. But when the Holy Spirit is completely removed, okay, so that this demon activity will be let loose in full to do whatever they want. Do you understand that? So you can read in that chapter, you see all the torment and everything that the devil will be doing. So in verse 12, it says, one war is past. And behold, there come two more hereafter. So we know in a minute that the war, the second war, is found in the book of Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 to 14. So quickly, if you want to, just to recall that. Revelation chapter 11, 7 to 14. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And when they refer to who? The two witnesses. Remember? Alright, let's read a chart in case you forget again. We know that the two witnesses came to seal the 144,000. But their prophecy, their preaching, irritates the Pope to no end. Until he finally, you know, what God finally left it, because already 3.5 years is passed. The Pope now is going to lick himself God. Okay, demonic activity is done, loose, open. All these three will happen at the same time, huh? When several rules, Satan and all the evil demonic angels comes out to start to create havoc. At the same time, the Antichrist will order the killing of the two witnesses. Okay, that's the second war. After he killed the two witnesses, he will sit in the temple and not he'll be incarnate by Satan. Satan will be fully using him, coming into him, giving him all that power, anoint him with that power, anoint him with that demonic spirit of life in him, okay, to now go after the woman Israel. So that third one, the third war, we find in chapter 12, verse 7 to 17. Alright? And there was war in heaven. Michael and Aaron fought and so on and so forth. And then in verse 10, he said, I heard a loud voice saying to the heaven, now is come salvation, strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is cast down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he have but a short time. So this is the third war. The second war I told you is in chapter 11, verse 7 to 14. You read verse 14, you know that the second war is listed there. The second war is past, and behold, the third war come quickly, one after another. Do you understand? First war, hell rules, demonic activity comes upon this earth. Nothing restrained them anymore. Right? And then the Pope had the two witnesses killed. He sits in the temple and makes himself God. So together, three woes. Because this is what. Because once you know, once you silence the two prophets, there's no voice of God heard anymore. There's no more voice of God heard. You understand that? You see? So because now it is the voice of the Pope, the voice of demons coming upon this earth. And you suddenly do not want to get into the spirit. You do not want to be inside that. Alright, God has gone to Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. What we see on this is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Remember, the great tribulation are not for the Gentiles, but because you are left here behind, if you are, then you are part of that. You're going to face what is going on in the earth. Alright, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 7. It says here, alas, for that day is great, so that none is lacking. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So he describes Jacob's trouble. God deal. Remember, the 70th week of Daniel is dealing with the Jew. It has nothing to do with the Gentiles. But if you happen to be caught into the problem with Israel, anybody that loves Israel, you will be in trouble. And you know why, if you ever go to Israel, and if you think of, you know, visiting Israel, and you have a desire to go to other surrounding nations, never have a passport stamped by Israel. Have them stamp on a piece of paper that you carry with them in your passport. Because if you have a stamp of Israel in your passport, you go over to Lebanon, they'll kick you back. Because you are part of Israel. As long as you are a friend of Israel, you are not a friend of theirs. And if you are a friend of Christ, you are not a friend of the devil. The devil hates you. Remember that. You are either for him or you are against him. There is no two ways around it. Okay? So you read here, okay, let us go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. This is what we call Jacob's trouble, and here we are Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness while she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the woman is Israel. Remember that chapter 12. Alright? And they, who are they? They are the 144,000. Remember. Alright, just look at the chart. I want you to familiarize with this. What we have is that after the two witnesses preach, they are preaching sealed 144,000. 12,000 on each tribe of Israel. Okay? Then, when the two prophets is killed in the middle of this week, then the voice of God is silenced. The 144,000 that are sealed will go, because here's the great tribulation. The Antichrist is going to go after the woman Israel. He's going to destroy them all. Do you understand? You understand that? And the woman, the whole nation of Israel, they're going to run. Some may run to China, some may run to where? To all we know, different places. The Bible said the earth will open up to help them. And you know today, there are a lot of Jews in other parts of the world. Not just over there in Israel. A whole lot more, there are more out of Israel than there in Israel. Do you understand? And the Antichrist will chase after every Jew if possible to kill them. But the 144,000 that are sealed by the two witnesses will go along with this Jewish family or groups. If a group go to a certain place, they will be a part of this 144,000, they will go with them. Another group will go to another part of the world, there will be a group of this 144,000, they will go with them. They will be the one to minister to the Jew. They are not going to minister to the Gentiles. You understand that? The Gentile days will be over. And now that the Antichrist go after the woman, you will also go after for those who are foolish virgins. Those who are related or friends of the Jews. And you will kill them. You understand that? But as for the sinners of the world, many of them, of course they are not friends of the Jew. You know, and they will just will not be harmed. But those who stand for Israel and those who stand for God, they will be martyred. Many of them will be martyred. Okay? So let us go to the next verse, 14. And to the woman was given the wings of a great, two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time from the face of the serpent. 1,260 days, 1,260 days is 3.5 months, 3.5 years. Time, times, and a half time. Time is 1, times is 2, 1 plus 2 is 3, and a half time is 3.5 years. That is Bible language. You understand? Okay? That is telling the same. That a woman will flee. The two wings of the great eagle is that which they have received from the witnesses. They know. So when they die, they were killed, then they know that they must be strong now. With what the two witnesses have preached to them, they will have to fly with it. Okay, Daniel, Revelation chapter 14, 6 to 13. 14, 6 to 13. And I saw another angel fly in the wilderness, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred, tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of the judgment is come, and worship him that make heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountain of water. And therefore another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torments are ascended up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Here is the patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Lord and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which died in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Okay, here now, this message is what we have heard of the true prophet. You know, there is no more gospel like we have today about grace and mercy, about Christ dying for us. If you reject this gospel and you enter into that period, the only thing that you must fear God. First thing. There's no way. When you enter there already. Now today a lot of people do not fear God. Right? But when you enter into that period, there's no way to say, oh, I repent, Lord Jesus, save me. There's no way. All you have to do is say you fear God and you give glory to God and you worship Him. That's all. You have to do this. Do you understand that? Okay? Fear God, verse 7. Give glory to Him and worship Him. Because when Babylon is fallen to that state where Satan is incarnate in the Pope, you know, you have to give your life up because he's going to kill you. Do you understand that? So, you have to fear God and worship Him and give up your life. So, if any man worship the beast, any man is part of the system, bowing down to the Antichrist and the system, the Bible says when you take the mark in your forehead or in your forearm, the key into your head, your forehead is to say that you believe and do what you believe what the system teaches you. In your forearm, you do what they tell you to do. You follow a system. You see. And today, terrorism. Those who believe in killing innocent Jews or innocent people in other parts of the world and believe that they're going to get 77 bajits. And they have no fear for God. You see. So, but if they are willing to die as a suicide bomber to get, they call themselves martyr and get the reward of a Jew woman out there in the other parts, in the other realm, what about those who wants their life, who want their soul? Then you have to give your life up to God. Huh? Give it to the Lord. Die willingly and face death. And die willingly. Okay? So now we go to the sixth trumpet. And sixth trumpet. Okay, first, where did I put my... You know what? I missed that verse. Where is the sixth trumpet book? In chapter 9. Yeah. Revelation chapter 9. Now we are finishing all these six and seven trumpet, and then go out a little bit to see what's happened during this period when this thing, this activity takes place on the earth. The sixth trumpet in verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before the Lord, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, for to slay the third part of man. Now, this is a language perhaps I want you to let you know. All these are visions that John saw, or what John was given by God when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Okay? And so, when he says here that I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before the Lord, you are talking about the sacrificial place in the temple, or the altar of incense. Alright, it means that it's before the throne of God. So the voice came out from there, and it says, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, you all know where the river Euphrates is. If you do not know, it means you are not a historian, because you are not interested in history again. River Euphrates is in the north of Israel, where we have what we call Babylonian Empire, the Mesopotamian region. Okay? It flows into the Gulf, the Persian Gulf. The water flows into the Persian Gulf. There are two great rivers, River Euphrates and River Tigris. Alright, but River Euphrates is the longest. And that River Euphrates is always a symbol in ancient times. You were not able to cross from that region going eastward, north eastward. You can't. You have to climb up the mountains, you know, and then cross over in the north. You can never cross directly. You see, you have to take the long way. It takes you months and months just to get across to the other side. And you have to cross mountains. You see? And that's what that river is. It's separate from the kings of the east, which is on the eastern side of Israel. Alright? From them. So, that river Euphrates is always filled with water. Because the water came from tributaries that flows down from all these mountains. And so there is always lots of water, and the river is very wide. And it is not possible for anybody to cross it. So, for the army from the northeast or the north could not come down to that place. They have to go by the coastline. So that's why when Romans invade Israel, they go by ship. They go by, what do you call that ship called? Galleons? Yeah. They have to come by ships, you know, to the shore of Israel to fight. Or coming down along all those coastlines. Israel cannot cross to northeast, neither from those army from northeast coming down that because of the river Euphrates. Alright. So now in this region here, the river Euphrates has another symbol that when the water is dry, and then when the river dries up, that means you can cross because you can walk on river beds. Okay? But that's only a symbol because today, no soldiers, don't usually cross by sea anymore. They go by plane. You must remember that. Okay? So now these four angels that we read in an earlier part of the book of Revelation, they symbolize, the four angels symbolize, says, the four forces, which is what? You all can remember that. You have economy, religion. Alright? Economy, religion, military, and politics. The four forces of the world. They are symbolizing that they are holding it back. Now, the Lord told them to release it. Let it go. Don't restrain it anymore. Let it go. So, once it's let loose, just think about today. Your economy of the world is very volatile, huh? Look at USA. The money, remember I talked about? Look at the politics of the world today. Look at what's going on in the paper, a lot of sex, a lot of lies, and all this leadership. You know about it, don't you? Yes. Look at all their president in America. Look at all those, what they have. Now they pick up all the things, what they have committed. All the lies and the sex scandal and everything that they have done. You see, here in Singapore we have it also, huh? Well, they have to step down, you know, you see. And we see what happened in school, college, university. Sex for grades. Wow. You see all the things that's going on? You know, so, when we have this politics, we have economic problem, the military. Now, the military is something that you you know, the phase in certain countries, like, for example, like Myanmar, like what we have in Cambodia. When the military takes power, it's very dangerous and very scary, because they hold the guns. They can do anything they want. You see. And in America today, you have, they have people create their own military, yeah? You know? In the forum, they train and all this, their own military. Like, if you watch these National Geographic Doomsday Preppers, some of them, you know, they have formed their own army, a little army to fight all of those who wanted to steal their food or their property or whatever. So you see all these things about military thing. And then what's about the last one? You have the religion. Look at the religions of today. They're willing to kill. Don't forget that. Even in the charismatic movement, there's a lot of lies. Even what I see in Nigeria. Churches, there's so many big churches, and the people are fighting even among themselves. And some churches will fight another church, literally beating each other up. Even in the end time measure that happened over in Nigeria. They throw stones, you know, and it's all here. Oh, see, is this Sister Bree has gone off? Oh, she's gone off. Sometimes maybe her connection over there, she's not getting it. So, when we see all these religions fighting among themselves, and even like we see when the Pope takes over the world, huh? And the power to kill. So when these four forces are let loose, that's under the six angels, the Bible here in verse 15 said, they are prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year for to slay the third part of man. The third part of man, human mankind, will be killed. What do you mean by an hour, a day, a month, and a year? It means to say that particular hour, that particular day, that particular month, and that particular year, when this will be let loose. That's what is language. So what year is that we will not know? Alright? For to slay the third part. I believe it will be after the wars are all, you know, come upon this earth, that's when this whole thing will start. You see. Alright, under the six angels, trumpeting. Alright, now, let us continue. In chapter 16, with all that is going on, in chapter 16 is actually another chapter that deals with this problem that is coming upon the earth. Chapter 16 we see here, not going through it, we will do it next week. We see here the vows. Now when the four angels are let loose, holding back the four winds, they are let loose now, the winds are let loose. This is what we're going to see in the seventh trumpet. All the activity that we heard about in movies, the Armageddon and all these things, like Doomsday 2012, you know, that sort of thing. It will really become very real. Okay? Alright. So, let us go to the next chapter 16. Right? Verse 16 of chapter 9. Verse 16 of chapter 9. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. 200,000 is 200 million. Alright. So when these four winds are let loose, politics comes in, whatever. Yeah, let's take for example China. Again, the politician who is in government called up the army. Right? They will say, okay, let's fight for economic reason. We go to Israel, we go to Middle East and take over that place because it's oil there. Right? Obviously, that's one reason. Is it? And China today, even though they have, well, freedom of religion, sort of, there are still a lot of those that are hardcore communists. Huh? They still feel that communism is good. So all these four persons will be involved. So when they gear up 200 million horsemen, soldiers, back in the days when the Bible was written, that's not possible. You will never think, how could that be? 200 million soldiers moving from the east to the west to the Middle East to fight. That's not possible. Because nobody heard of that many. Huh? You probably heard 10,000. 100,000, okay. For even half a million is not even possible for a nation to build up that large, that size of an army. But today, 200 million. China itself, how many billion is what's the population of China? 3 million? 3 billion.
1.5 billion
is now 1.5 billion is India. The world population is how many?
Six billion.
7 billion.
Yeah, almost 7 billion. So what is the population of China? Is it not 3 billion?
No.
India is 1.5, 4.5.
2 billion.
All right. But just imagine that they, with a population 200 million is not, it's possible. But what about India itself? The next nation of the world that has the biggest population. How many soldiers can they gather to go west to fight? What about Pakistan? Huh? You see, when you talk about the king of the east, when that river Euphrates dried up, war is going to be fought. And that war is building up to what? The people are getting up to what? For the battle of Armageddon. And it's a name, a word that we hear it very often. Even those who are not Christians know, but Armageddon is coming, Armageddon is coming. Because it's going to be a war, the whole world will. People will destroy themselves. As the Bible said in book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said that he will destroy himself, you know, if God doesn't cut off, you know, the day is short. You see. You just imagine when they're going to a war, when nuclear bombs are used and all the chemical weapons are used, and what did they happen to this atmosphere? Can you survive? Maybe you better stop preparing. Go buy some gas masks. You know, this world is going to be in that shape. And it is not, people think that what, you know, what we call doomsday prophet, they call it, huh? You know, you heard about doomsday prophet, and even recently about 21, 12, huh? People think that, it's just a joke. Yeah, maybe it's a joke. It's not going to happen, but sooner or later, something like that is going to happen. You see. Yeah, people think that's not possible. Or the Bible prophesied so, and it will happen. You can guarantee it. Alright? Okay, let us continue. Verse 17. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, and having breastplates of fire, of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire, by smoke, and by the brimstone which issue out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails. For in their tails were like serpents and their heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, when you read this, well, it sounds like we have read this before somewhere. And if you go over to Revelation, Revelation chapter 9, Under the fifth trumpet, when the bottomless pit was opened up, okay, you read all these demonic activities. Locusts coming out from the bottomless pit, face like a man, crown of gold, with long hairs. It looks something like that, very similar. But what you read over in chapter 9, they are spiritual. Spiritual demonic activities. But when you read over in this verse 17 to 19, these are not spiritual, these are military activities. Alright, let me just tell something. These 200 million soldiers that are going to move, how are they moving? They are not going to move on feet. Right? They have their war planes, their helicopters, they are going to move their tanks. Right? So, look at what it describes here. What is horses? I saw horses and then the set on it. Look at this war machine. Now, if you ever see a soldier sitting on the army tank, right? Now, remember one thing here, this is a vision that John saw. And when John saw it, whatever he sees, he's going to tell you that it's a tank, because the language doesn't exist. Is that right? The language he knows that doesn't exist. What he sees, he described as used language of his days. You understand, huh? If you were having a vision in those days of a helicopter, you never seen a helicopter, what is this thing flying like that? You know? Okay? So he says here, horses, war machines that are actually tanks, the artillery, the amphibians, the missiles, and though this war machine look like lions, because, well, I think those who fire cannon, you know. You know how loud that noise is? When you fire a howitzer, right? Or you fire a cannon, a real big cannon. Or you throw a grenade or grenade launcher. What about those missile launcher? They go right? And then when it starts going at the end of it, boom, 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 boom. To him, John's vision here described as what? Lion roaring. Boom! What comes out of that, you know, projectile? I mean, from that cannon. So the sound of it, all these are description of war machine. And it says here that smokes, they have smoke coming out. When you fire something, what comes out? Smoke. When a rocket is launched, smoke comes up. Sulfuric smell and everything comes up from there. Right? Okay. What have you described? What about this? The fire and smoke and brimstone and this, by these three parts. Okay, verse 19, sorry. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tail were like serpent and had heads, and they were with them they do hurt. Now, have you ever seen planes that turrets? You know the plane they have these turrets at the bottom, huh, that fire backwards because the planes are coming from the other direction. Or what about missile when it's they launch from the plane? It drops on a plane and then it sticks like right. It follows after. It goes like a snake. You see, so the description of what John is seeing here, serpent, like a serpent, it's a guiding missile, you're like a snaking around, falling after a plane to, you know, to hit it. And it says, well, they have power in their mouths. You imagine a cannon that blows up, or even in a plane, sometimes. Well, war plane, they have sometimes they draw something, you know, in the front of the, what is the front of the plane called? The head area. You know, especially fighter plane. They like to draw all kinds, especially Second World War. They like to draw all kinds of creatures, you know, lion or whatever they would draw on that part. And even in Second World War, even the front of the plane has machine guns. If you are familiar with it. So we do not know what the description that John see here. I just give you an idea. Okay? And, the heads. When I read the word heads here, it looks more like to me, I would say that warheads, for example. I remember seeing a documentary about America invade Iraq. And those soldiers, when they put those warheads, okay, onto, those planes, they will draw something on the front of the warhead. You know, they draw like a monster or something there, you know. That's it. So, because that's warhead is why you get a bite when you hit the target. So, what John is describing are actually war machines. What he described over in chapter 9, it is spiritual warfare. So they are altogether totally different. Alright? Okay, verse 20. Now remember that this war is going to kill one third part of the world, the people in the world, or they will die, a lot of them. Verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by this plague, the war is a plague anyway, yet repent not of the works of their hands. That they should not worship devils. Remember what we read earlier on, that they should worship God, fear God, worship God. Is that right? And give glory to God. But even with this war coming on in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the people still do not care. Now, we're there for you right now in Syria, with all the war that's going on there, the battle between the rebels and the government troops. There are people who still do not care about, fearing God. So, if this big war comes, there'll be many just like that. They just should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stones, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their terror. Remember this, that God no longer draw men to himself, because this is the great tribulation period. People have to do is just fear him, give him the glory, and worship him. He will not draw men anymore as to what we have to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so grace and mercy will be finished as all these soldiers coming over to the Middle East to fight. It will have an effect around the whole world. Economy disaster, of course, because you are dealing with war. There will be no food, the scarcity of food. Don't forget that. Always remember this. War would always cause people to go hungry. Huh? If you do not believe me, ask your father or your grandfather. He will know how people suffered during the Second World War. Alright? Now, with this war, as the war started, it will draw close to the coming, the return of Christ with his saints to fight in the battle of Armageddon. Do you understand it? Okay? Alright. let us go to chapter 11. Now we read chapter 11 where we have in verse 14 the second war that is listed there. Alright? But immediately after that, of course, the vision is shown to John enters into the seventh trumpet. Now we are coming to the seventh trumpet. Let us look at the chart again. Just look at the chart, just the place where we are. Alright? With the fourth trumpet, that is when the midst, when the sun is smitten, a third part of the day is, there's no light. Okay? And then immediately after that, the three wars that follow, that is announced. When the three wars is announced, the fifth trumpet is blown, the first war starts. Immediately after the first war starts, comes the second war, because of all demonic activities, right? Remember? Okay? Demonic activities, hell is broke loose, demon is going to torment man and woman and all that. And then the Pope killed the two prophets, and then he sits himself in the temple and comes out God. All this happened under the three under the fifth trumpet. Okay? Then the sixth trumpet is blown to prepare Armageddon, which will be at the end of this 70th week of Daniel. At the end of the 7 years, when Christ will come and fight them in the battle of Armageddon. Alright, so when the sixth trumpet is blown, people are gearing up for war. When China starts marching across into the West, fly the plane over there, ship it over there, whatever they do. Nation will all be worried. Everyone will gear for battle. Everyone will move. And now I guess Singapore will stay still. Because we are not interested in all that. Because we are only a small army, what can we do? These are all big guys. Alright, the big guns. Okay, so this is a period of Jacob's trouble, as I said, because the demon let loose is already going after them, and those who are foolish virgin will give their life up. Those Christians who went into this period also, they know that they have to give their life up. Remember this? If you save your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for Christ, you will gain it. Simply. Simple man. Alright? If you fear that, you want to save it, okay, you live for another few years, that's gone. Next, the thing is this, is never, ever deny Christ. Whatever the situation. You understand that, isn't it? I said this, if somebody put a gun to your head and say, if you say you are a Christian, I'll blow your head off. If you say you're not a Christian, I'll let you go. So what would you say? Think about it. Right? Think about it. Isn't it true? Because why? You look at all the Christians in the world today. They're having, oh, look at Singapore, charismatic, Pentecostal, evangel. Everybody's happy going to church, single, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If the army, Antichrist army, come right into the church, all cock their guns and rifles. Those of you who are not Christian, you better get out now. Everybody looking at each other. Malu! Shame, don't walk out, don't deny Christ. And those who are willing to die for it, they stink. And those ones who deny Christ, one time, in that sort of situation, they find hard to repent and come back. Huh? You understand? Once you want to go out, you will not want to come back. You want to say, how can I go out the door? Yeah, I better go back. Hey, I'm a Christian, shoot me. You won't do that. I don't think you want it, because you already make up your mind to run. You see? And that's why I always said, think about those who died in the dark age. Throw to the lion, to the bear, in a big arena where you have 10, 20,000 people are looking, watching. And you stood right there. They stood right there. You know why I believe they can stand right there? Seeing the lion coming, the bear come, running. You know why I believe they can just stand there calmly, not running? Because why? That moment of time, the power of God is upon them. The fear is lifted up. Death is just one shit. The lion will come, fight them. Or the bell will come, just shove their paw, your head comes off. That's it. It's gone. You see? So think about that in death is life in Christ Jesus. But if you think about life, there is death only in your life that you choose. Correct? Okay, so we are in this part, of course, you can see the ship dark because of the trouble we are going through. So everything is preparing for this battle that is to come. So now we are looking at the seventh trumpet now. Okay, in chapter 11. After verse 14, he says about this war. 15 onward, he reads all about the seventh trumpet. Verse 15, the seven angels sound, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Because now when the trumpet is blown, he's proclaiming now. Because why? Christ is going to fight. He's coming back to fight. And when he fights, it will not take many days. You know what I mean? He just comes on here with the word of his mouth. As with him, just finished up. You understand? And then he will set up his kingdom. So that's why the Bible he announces this way. And verse 16, the 24 elders we set before the Lord God on their seats, fell upon their faces, worship God. Say, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast take unto thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nation were angry, and the wrath, thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And then they should, and thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should give, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So the day of the Lord, my, this is knowing the day of the Lord is coming. The great day of the Lord is coming when, in verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's go to this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 10. Alright, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, the second part of 7. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them, they know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be a mild in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So Christ is going to come and fight. And then he will judge everyone. Verse 19. And the temples of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. And there was lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. Now in this vision that John saw, remember one thing, there is no literal temple in heaven. There is no literal temple in heaven. We only reflect the true temple. What is the temple of the living God? The bride, the wife that is taken out already. We are the temple. And the Bible says, the ark of his covenant. Who is the ark of the covenant? Christ. So what John is describing here is that the bride is there. The temple of God, we are the temple of God, is there. The ark of the covenant represents Christ being in the midst of us in the temple, in heaven. It's opened up now, it's revealed, and it's ready to come down. Okay? So, this speak of course, when we talk about the ark of his testimony, speak of God's faithfulness as well. Fulfilling his righteousness also in Christ Jesus in us. So, John saw all of these things. And the Bible says here, lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and a great hail. This shows a lot of activities that is happening. A lot of excitement. Okay, what is going to happen? What is reflected on the earth? Okay, because Christ is coming and going to take over the world. And let's go to chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. Okay, here is where we see the reflection of it there, figuratively speaking of anyone who wants to enter into that temple, because the temple is open in heaven. Okay, it says here in verse chapter 15, verse 5 to 8, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open, and the seventh angel came out of the temple, having seven flags, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breastplate girded with golden girdle, and one of the four beasts give unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who will live forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plague of the seventh angel was fulfilled. Very interesting. Let us look into the chart again. First of all, we read earlier, as John said, the temple of God was opened in the heaven. Right? And he see the ark in the temple. But in the verse chapter 50, we read that the angel now have seven bowls of the last plague. Okay, which we are looking at here, the seven. Well, the Bible used the word bowl translated, which is very poor. The better word is bowls. You know a basin? a bowl. When you take the water, you just throw. But if you take a vow like you're pouring out, it's kind of slow. Alright? But the bowl is what God is doing. He's going to judge the world very quickly. Take that bowl, the bowl of the last the plague. He's just going to throw it one after another. Just throw it. You know what I mean? Not just pouring. You know what a bowl water is like? Alright? It's not going to be that slow. Everything will be done very fast because this is the last part already. Ending up. And that's just why, if you look at the chart above here, now we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride sits there. That's the temple. And there's the ark of the Testament. Okay, it's open up to show. But in chapter 15 we read, it said that there's so much smoke in the glory of God, that no man was able to enter into the temple. You can't enter now, because God is going to pour everything upon the earth. Nobody can enter in now. Now, even though the Bible shows this, even those that are here, those who died for Christ, those foolish virgin, those faithful Jews, right? They were resurrected at the end. They will come out in this third phase of the resurrection. Remember? Okay, after Christ comes, they will resurrect. This is to say that, yes, there are still those that need to be brought into the temple. It's open. But the activity is that when Christ is about to pour out this wrath, pour out all his wrath upon the earth, and then Christ will come, say, nobody can enter because now this is the moment of time. Everything stops already. Because this is the last part. The Antichrist has finished his job. Christ is coming to take over. You understand that? So that is the seven vials. And let us go and read Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, 9 to 11. Alright. So, this here in chapter 6, under the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, the soul of them, they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of them which they have. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robe was given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servant also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Remember, under the fifth seal, there were souls under the altar. Those souls under the altar are those that died under the hand of Hitler and Eichmann during the Second World War, during the Holocaust. Do you understand? But here he says, told them to wait. They are asking for vengeance. Remember? Jew always asking for vengeance, but not Christian. And God said, you wait for a little season until all your fellow servants and those brethren of yours, they need to be killed, they will be killed. So that's why during this period here, there will still be those elected ones. They will make it into the part of this whole city, Holy New Jerusalem. Do you understand that? Okay. And chapter 7, verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 9. You can see here is the same. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, and all nations and kindred and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which is upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elder and the four beasts and fell upon the throne of their face and worshipped God. And then we'll write down first quickly now in verse 13. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and which came they? Why came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. You see that? Okay, so now this is the temple. There are all those here that died will get up. And they saw Joseph, who are these? He said, oh, those, and the angel said, these are those that came out of the great tribulation. Right? And they will serve him in the temple. They mean be part of the temple. Do you understand? Here is the language. The Bible shows a little here and little there. Okay? But we're like Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. You can also see that in Zechariah chapter 13, quickly. Zechariah chapter 13, 1 to 9. Yet in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and cleansing. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. For also I will cause the false prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lying in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother that dwell with him shall trust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. For he said, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for men ought to keep cattle from thy youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hand? Then he shall answer, Those are that which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Awake, O sword, against thy shepherd, against my shepherd, and against the man that do that is my fellow, said the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass, and in all the land, said the Lord, two parts then will be cut off and die, but the third part shall be saved therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, This is my people, and they will say, The Lord is my God. So, this Zechariah is talking about this period of time as well. You understand? Okay, that the Lord will pass through, there will be no more prophesying here. Ah, those are prophets are false prophets. And they are all going to die. Alright, the third part will be taken. Christ, remember those that are His. Alright, now in closing, once the seven trumpets are blown, the last trumpet here is left. When he blows, the seven bowls will be given to them. And while all this thing happens, what happened to the bride of Christ? Okay? Move this. Once the bride is taken up, the first thing that the bride will be, while this thing happens on the earth, all the activity happens on the earth, the bride of Christ will be in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 to 11. Quickly, we're just going to finish it off. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we shall be accepted of him. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone that may receive the things done in his body, according to that, yet done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work by which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Right? You read this too? Go back to 2 Corinthians again. I want to point out something here. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, this is the judgment seat of Christ, up here. We are not going to appear before the great white throne, because we already passed from death to life. Here we are already dead. We are a new creation. So we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What? To be judged of what? To be judged whether we have eternal life or not? No. We already have eternal life. So we are being judged here at the Bema seat. This is called a Bema seat, the Greek word Bema. What? To present ourselves, get a reward. Look at it carefully here. So is there still any more time? How many more minutes? 10?
20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. Well, don't worry, verse 10. I'm going to finish in about 5 minutes. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now, in your Bible, sometimes it's the body. I believe it's italic. Okay, now, his body or the body, which body is he talking about? Is he talking about you standing before the Lord and then be judged to what you have done in your body or in the body of Christ? Okay, now there have been a lot of argument over this. Okay, but let's remember this. In 1 Corinthians we read earlier on, the Bible said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit dwells in you. So it says that if you defile, any man defile the temple of God, okay, him shall God destroy. So your body is given to you, but the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So if you defile this body, he's going to destroy. And Paul is not telling a lie. You can call yourself a Christian, whatever it is. You may not be destroyed. Of course, when you stand up there in the judgment here, the Bema seat, it's not about judging you and then destroy you. No. It's talking about this life in 1 Corinthians. Do you understand? If you destroy your body, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they say they're Christian. They start drinking and they're getting drunk and all these things continually. God is going to destroy their body. At least they may be saved. That's what Paul talks about here. Say, how do you build upon the foundation? Huh? If you are built on gold, in verse 1 Corinthians 3:12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, it's going downward. Huh? You know what stubble is? It burns easily. Wood burns easily as well. You know? And then stones, precious stone, all this can stand heat. Silver, gold, they can stand heat. The value of the most expensive is gold, coming downward. Even though if you build on the foundation, there is the church, which is Christ. You build upon it, instead of building it right, you are not building it right. You are building it of haste and stubble. You don't manifest your life in the body of Christ. Then you have no reward, because this thing will be under the scrutiny of the eyes of God, of Christ. You remember that the eyes of Christ is like a fire. You know, he knows everything that is about you. When you stand there on that judgment day, in the judgment of the seat of Christ, he stand before you. He knows everything about you. So, you're going to get a reward. This is what we talk about. Here in the Bema seat of Christ, we are appeared to get our reward. In 2 Corinthians, it said, this body, in his body, his body, Christ's body, his church. Basically, that's what he's talking about. Not just your body, this body. Because already this body, what it is he manifests. If it doesn't come up to that place where, if you destroy and defile it, God will destroy this body. You understand that? Now, every one of us will receive a reward. So, how do you build in this body of Christ? You understand what I'm talking about? How do you build in this body of Christ? Do you play a part in the body of Christ? Remember, Paul talks about the body. The eyes, the nose, the ear, every part of the body has a part to play. Huh? And if you don't play a part in the way you should play, you get no reward. So, there will be those that go out there, they will get rewards. Some of them have nothing. Only that they have their salvation. no other reward. Do you understand? You understand that? So this is what we have when we come here. Then after we receive our reward, then we sit with Christ. Because you know what? We're the bread. We must get our reward with all our whatever we're gonna wear. You understand? This is just a figurative spiritual language. You know? Your position, where you're gonna sit. Now this paper is gonna be, I don't know how many thousand miles long. Okay, just a language. So Christ is going to sit at the head of the table. Where will you be sitting? At the table? You know what I'm saying? You're talking about where? Because everyone will have a position to sit in that kingdom of Christ where we rule with Him. Some people say, never mind. As long as I have salvation, it doesn't matter where I am. That's bad attitude. Huh? Do whatever you can for Christ. Be a good witness of the Lord. Amen? Be faithful to every word that He gives to you. And keep it. And fulfill it. That's what Jesus said to John. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. He told John. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. He said, Jesus, no. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. John, it's your duty to do it. You do it. Don't pass it to somebody else. That is to say. So if it's your duty to do something for the church, don't say, so-and-so can do it. Yeah, of course so-and-so can do it. You don't want a blessing? Okay, go ahead. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. Thank you for your word. We ask of your grace, Father, to continue to guide us and give us more understanding, Lord, as you see the day getting shorter and shorter, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we look forward, Lord. We hasten the day of Christ's coming. And we cry out, Father, really, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you grant us the strength and faith to continue this journey, no matter how dark the world may be, Father. What chaos or what disaster the world may bring, Father. And we know the earth is shaking and trembling because, Lord, it is waiting for us. The creation is waiting for us, the sons of God, to be manifest. So, Father, we look forward to that. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name.